All cheese tastes the same.
What?
All cheese tastes the same.
No, it doesn't.
All cheese tastes the same. This is a hot dog is a sandwich.
Ketchup is a smoothie.
Yeah, I put ice in my cereal, so what?
That makes no sense.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
What? Welcome to our podcast, A Hot Dog is a Sandwich, the show where I say upsetting things. I'm your host, Josh Scherer. I've said so many upsetting things in the past that will be proven demonstrably false.
And I'm Nicole Anaiti.
And I did that thing where I went on a little bit of a rant and said some insane hyperbolic things in a video.
Why did you do that?
Well, I'll tell you exactly why. So we was doing a video where we made mac and cheese from the dollar store, the Dollar Tree. We made mac and cheese from Dollar Tree and mac and cheese from Whole Foods Ingredients. And we tried to buy up as many different cheeses from the Dollar Tree as we could. And so we bought, you know, Cheddar and Jack and Colby Jack. And we're like, we're doing a four cheese macaroni and cheese.
All right.
But then as I was making this, I realized that adding all four of those cheeses together does not change the taste of the cheese. If you add Cheddar and Monterey Jack and Colby Jack and Colby, one, the Colby and the Jack, that's just two cheeses right there. But then Monterey Jack and Colby mixed with Cheddar. Oh, and we added American too, but to get the sodium citrate, the chemical in there. But all of that sort of just amounts to a mild Cheddar. Right? So that got me thinking. All these cheeses, your Colby's, your Jack's, your mild Cheddar's, and I'm talking about like your sort of grocery store versions of that, not going to Cabot, Vermont, or Leicester in England and getting a cloth-bound Cheddar. No. I'm talking about your like average run-of-the-mill weekday sandwich slice cheese.
A Sargento, if you will.
A Sargento. And we actually have some here. This is a mixture of Sargento, Tillamook, and Lucerne, and then I think even store brand, depending on what was on sale.
Right.
But I started thinking about how many of those cheeses taste the same. And so you can get like a mild provolone in that sliced format, and that don't taste like the provolone picante from an Italian deli. But it tastes so similar to your average mild Cheddar or Monterey Jack. And that got me thinking. In crazy hyperbolic terms, all cheese tastes the same. I'm not talking about every single cheese in the world. No. And I'll get to my actual theory after I prove it to you.
Okay.
Because right here, Nicole, we have 11 different cheeses.
Do we have 11? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. You're so good at counting. You're better than I am. 11. I have math anxiety.
I love that you immediately thought I was lying, though. No, I went to the store to buy these 11 cheeses. I can probably name them off rip, too. We have mozzarella. We have provolone. We have mild yellow cheddar and medium white cheddar. Maybe those are flipped. We have Monterey Jack. We have Havarti. We have Munster. I got a couple wild cards in there. We have Butterkäse.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to try it.
Which is so popular from the TikTok, but I'm like, that kind of tastes the same. And then we have a Mexican Manchego just to see if like that even can be confused for the other cheeses.
You're missing one.
Oh, and Colby Jack.
Yes.
And Colby Jack.
If I were to be any cheese, I would be Colby Jack because I'm a Gemini. It's a mix of cheeses.
I'd be smoked habanero gouda because vaguely Dutch looking and often sunburned.
Can't find it nowhere. Unique.
They had it. This is the most I've like explored the cheese section in a while.
You had fun with the cheesemonger?
I saw a little smoked gouda habanero thing in there and that looked really fun. I was talking to the cheesemonger about their Butterkäse shortage because all the kids have been buying it from TikTok. We did a TikTok video where I shoved Butterkäse into a sweet potato. And they legit had trouble stocking Butterkäse.
Do you want me to wear a blindfold now?
I think you should go first. I think you should try all these cheeses blindfolded.
Okay.
And then we see how many you can get right. How confident are you? Do you resonate with what I'm talking about?
I eat cheese all day, every day. It's like my job, mother effer.
But like, I know people who are like, ooh, I love a turkey sandwich, but it's got to be Munster. And I'm like, can you tell the difference between Munster and all of the other sliced cheeses out there?
Can I tell you why?
I love Munster cheese, but I love all these equally.
I don't love them equally. The Munster has a certain like nutty funk and a creamy texture that only Munster can have.
Sure, man.
Okay, which
maybe.
One okay, let me know when you're going
to
feed me.
Okay, I'm putting my blindfold on just to have as well.
You know, and this doesn't work. You're using something
sharp.
We
got Logan. Can you record results?
Yes.
All right, Nicole, first cheese coming in. Ready? Okay. Nicole is eating Colby Jack. Nicole is eating the cheese, kind of like how a camel intakes vegetables. What are you tasting?
My problem is, I consider myself to be a super taster.
Yes.
I have a really knowledgeable food brain and a really knowledgeable mouth. But when my eyes are closed, it's really hard. I'm going to say that.
That's why we're using the phrase tastes the same.
Okay. I'm going to say that was either provolone or Colby Jack.
Either provolone or Colby Jack. Do you want to lock in an answer?
Provolone.
All right. Provolone. Should I tell Nicole if she was right or wrong? Nicole, that was not provolone.
Okay, don't tell me what it was.
I'm not going to tell you what it was. I'm not going to tell you what it was.
Next cheese,
okay,
please.
Next one. Okay, we're coming in. These are pretty big slices, but you sliced them. Nicole is eating mild yellow cheddar.
Oh, what is that?
Cheese.
It's so mild, but it has an aftertaste. It has a nutty aftertaste.
Nuttiness. What cheese do you associate with nuttiness?
Is there Jarlsberg here? No, there's no
Jarlsberg. Dude, I almost bought Jarlsberg because I love Jarlsberg.
I love Jarlsberg. No one ever talks about Jarlsberg.
My dad loved Jarlsberg. Was that like a dad era cheese?
Yes, my dad also loves Jarlsberg.
Dude, bring back Jarlsberg. It's can you Google where Jarlsberg is from? Why do I feel like it's Norwegian or it's like
probably from Jarlsberg.
Where's you go to Jarlsberg every weekend?
What did you just feed me? White cheddar.
It was developed in the 50s at the Agricultural University of Norway.
It's a Norwegian cheese. Yeah, Jarlsberg rips.
So I'm going to guess that that was some sort of cheddar. I'm going to go with mild white cheddar.
Mild white cheddar?
Mm-hmm.
You are incorrect.
Oh my gosh, I'm so bad at this. Next!
Okay. Got one coming in. Coming in.
Ah.
There she goes. Nicole is eating Gouda.
It's plasticine.
It's plasticine.
Mm-hmm.
The other interesting thing to talk about
mozzarella.
You think that's mozzarella? Nicole, you are incorrect.
Oh my God. Why am I so confident?
Because these are the same. But it's funny when you say that's plasticine because, like, I've had the good version of that cheese and it's no one would ever call it plasticine, right? It's like really delightful. You know what I mean? It's like some of them are even quite crystalline, depending on the age. Mm. But when you win all of
cheddar,
these...
it's cheddar.
When you say it's also that not.
Crystalline cheese.
I got another one coming in for you, Nicole.
Okay, this is
you
fun.
Ready for it? I'm so excited to try this. Nicole is eating mozzarella. Let's see if you can get one right. Come on, Nicole. Go deep into that mind palace of yours. Use that super taster. I smoke too many cigarettes to be a super taster. I can super taste a Camel Crush.
Oh my gosh, don't get me started on Camel Crush.
They're illegal now.
They're illegal?
Don't ask me how I know.
Don't, Monterey Jack.
That is incorrect,
You've
Nicole.
You've got to be shitting me.
Incorrect.
Are you going to feed me one more?
Do you want me to run through all of these?
You know
run
what?
Until she gets one.
Yeah, that's okay, good. Okay, then okay. I'm going to be purposely okay, wrong okay, for here. All of them.
Here, coming in. This one I'm curious about.
Nicole is eating buttocchese.
Butterkoska.
She got one. She got one. Wait. Let's see if we can keep the streak going.
Okay. Okay.
What gave it away? Is it a texture or a taste?
Both.
Okay. Coming in.
I'm
sorry.
Nicole is eating Munster.
Are you sick of cheese yet?
Munster.
It is Munster. It is Munster. Okay. She's starting to really hit a stride.
I have nothing else going on in my life other than eating cheese and being blindfolded.
One more.
Nicole is eating Monterey Jack.
That's Monterey Jack.
Holy smoke. She's correect. Okay. She's correct. She's on a tear.
Give me one more. Come on.
One more. Now we're starting to disprove the theory a little bit.
Nicole is eating Havarti.
Colby Jack?
No, that one was Havarti. You've eaten most of the cheeses now. Do you want to take off your blindfold?
Yeah, I'll take it off. That was so much fun. Can I do that every day of my life?
Yeah, we're happy to do that. Logan, how many in a row did she get wrong?
She got four wrong in a row, then three right, then one wrong. So five wrong.
But that said, like, you actually did better than I thought you would. I thought it would be harder because you have 11 cheeses here. I mean, effectively, you have a 1 in 11 shot. If my thesis is correct, if my hypothesis is correct— you would get an average of 9% correct. And instead, you were probably going to be batting about like 40, 60 on there.
Okay.
Which is pretty good. Was it easier or harder than you thought it would be?
Harder. Well, you want to know what it is. All these cheese are processed.
Yeah, exactly.
So they are all going through a similar process of being cooked down and like being sliced and like cooling at a similar temperature. So to be frank, all cheese does taste the same whenever you're doing the same thing to it.
Yeah. Of course, yeah. The cheese that I was talking about, which is like the aged one being very crystalline delicious, is Gouda.
I ate Gouda?
You ate, oh yeah, one of them was a sliced, they have a sliced Gouda and it looks,
fake.
It's the color of.
Fake news.
But like you said, it's probably, that's dyed, right? Where a traditional Gouda isn't dyed, but it's yellow because the diet of the cows, I believe.
Right, right.
You know, a very grass-rich diet like Kerrygold butter, going to yield a yellower cheese. Cheddar is straight up dyed using
annatto
mm-hmm. or paprika extractive. But so many of these, like, you're kind of flattening them to, like, be in a shelf-stable deli aisle. You know what I mean? But
maybe you're right. Maybe all cheese does taste the same.
Also, it all tastes roughly the same because, like, it's the same chemical process, right? You know, not even to make sliced cheese, but just cheese in general. You're dealing with, like, fat structures and glutamic acid and,
right.
and all this. And I still love the world of cheese. I you know, remember going to, especially when it's connected to culture, I remember going to Sardinia and eating a bunch of different ages of Pecorino Sardo. Mm-hmm. And then the woman who, you know, she was a vintner. And then her brother raised sheep to like a slaughter for meat. And then her other brother raised sheep for milk and made the cheese. And hearing her talking crap about how like, oh, Pecorino Romano is BS because the Romans hate the farming industry near their town, so they exported it all to Sardinia, but Pecorino Sardo is better anyways. I love that kind of stuff. But then, yeah, so many of these cheeses, you know, they're the same. Especially put on a little sandwich. It's a honey ham. You can taste the difference between mustard and Havarti when you got the honey ham.
I'll say this. There is, like, definite flavors that once the cheese dissipates stays in your mouth.
Yeah.
Like I just ate the Manchego and that very obviously has that like sheepy goaty flavor
once
you swallow it. But something like a Monterey Jack or even a Munster, it just dissipates so quickly you don't remember what it tastes like.
They're fine utility cheeses, you know what I mean? And again, when you talked about sight, like yeah, if you see Colby Jack on a sandwich, a grilled cheese with Colby Jack, wow. You're in for a treat. You're in for a treat. You know, you're probably at an Airbnb, you're probably on vacation, you're making fun little ham and grilled cheeses.
That's so funny. Is that like an anecdotal?
Like a little bit, yeah. You know, but like all these things are kind of different that way. Can I take the test?
Sure.
Can I put my blindfold on, you feed me?
Josh, put on your blindfold. Say, ah! It's like a lifesaver.
You gonna go down the rabbit hole?
Josh is eating mild white cheddar.
Tastes like cheese.
Uh-huh.
It's nutty. It's nutty and mild, but so are most cheeses. I'm saying Havarti.
Josh, you are incorrect.
Ah, rats. Okay, more cheese.
Okay. You just stay in that position for me. Thank you. Don't move. If you move, the bad man will come. Josh is eating mild cheddar. Is that how I was also eating? Freaking gross.
No, I smack more. Like, it tastes cheddary, but cheddary is the flavor of cheese. Because I grew up, you know, as an American, you grew up on a lot of cheese. You got a lot of cheddar.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. So what is
I'm saying that's medium white cheddar.
You are incorrect.
Rats.
That's right.
I'm going to go
like
over.
A rat eating cheese.
All right, Mark.
I'm going to eat this one with you. Josh is eating provolone.
Kind of.
Let me know if you want another bite.
Kind of plasticky. A little grassy. This one has the sharpness of an Italian.
All right.
I'm going to say this one's provolone.
Josh, you're correct.
Hey!
Hey.
Okay, we got that one was a little noticeably different. In a way that I really do enjoy. Okay.
Josh is eating Munster.
It melts nice.
Well, thank God for that.
That's Gouda. That's Gouda.
Yeah?
Positive, 100%. Lock
Josh,
it in.
You are incorrect.
Get the out of here. That wasn't Gouda?
No, you get out of here. Don't
talk to me. I won't get the out of here. Get the Gouda the out of here. That wasn't Gouda?
That wasn't Gouda.
I don't believe you.
Well, you should believe me because I'm a very honest person.
That's crazy.
And I only lie when it's important to lie.
I tasted smoke.
Why would I lie right now?
I lie at least a dozen times every day.
Okay. I think that's a lie. I don't think Josh lies that much. I think he's just lying about lying, which is a lie. Josh is eating Havarti.
That one's Munster.
You're incorrect. So I guess maybe you're right.
More cheese.
Okay, I have nothing else. Again.
Or maybe I smoke too many Camel Crushes and I can't taste cheese no more.
Josh, I smoke too many Camel Crushes. And I'm... Colby's always impressed whenever I tell him all the things I can taste in his food. He goes, yeah. And I'm like, Colby, love you. Josh is eating mozzarella.
Butter queso.
So wrong. Like, embarrassingly wrong.
What was that one?
That one was whole milk mozzarella.
Yeah, it all tastes the same, man. Wait, give me some butter queso.
Here, I'll give you. You're such a TikTok kid. The butter queso is delicious. Why can't I say it right? This is like a really sad charcuterie board. This is like a depressing charcuterie board.
How are you able to get so many correct?
Me?
These all taste the same.
I'm a super taster. Que cosa? I'm a super duper taster.
What was the one that I thought was Gouda?
That was Mexican Manchego.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then you thought the Havarti was Munster.
Yeah, Havarti and Munster are such. They're lateral.
They're cousins. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, I want to draw.
You want to draw?
I want to draw.
I love when you draw. Can you also draw Thick Booty Penguin for everybody?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So. What I'm talking about, all cheeses taste the same. So I need a palate cleanser.
This guy has a board.
What am I? A Dimitri Martin comedy special from 2008? High five. High five, Nicole. Boom.
What was that joke he had?
Which
everyone
one?
LOLs. Sometimes people LMAO, but me, I LQTMS. Laugh quietly to myself.
My favorite is the God must have named oranges before he named carrots. Got to oranges and well, of course, these are orange. Call them oranges. Got to carrots and went, ah, shit. I don't know. Long pointies?
I loved Dimitri Martin. What's he doing? I still has that cute little haircut.
Was it? I went to a party wearing a leather jacket and people thought I was cool. Then I went to a party wearing a leather vest and people thought I was uncool. Then I figured out the key to being cool is leather sleeves.
He was great for his time.
I love Dimitri Martin. He made that great Woodstock movie. Okay. So we need to talk about this cheese bell curve.
Oh, my God. He's making a graph.
Cheese bell curve. Over here, we have hard and weird.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like my ex-husband. Just kidding. I ain't got one of those.
Over here, we have soft.
Mm-hmm.
And weird.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like my ex-wife.
Here we have chewy and normal. That's chewy and normal.
One of those either. Chewy and normal?
Yeah.
Don't have a comp for that one.
Hard and weird cheeses. On the farthest end of the spectrum. Nicole, what's the hardest, weirdest cheese you can think of?
Ricotta salata.
That's pretty normal. I'm talking like weirdest cheese you ever heard
of. Oh, Casu Marzu.
Well, let's go over soft and weird because Casu Marzu, it's so soft that all the maggots live in there.
It's not soft.
Casu Marzu is soft, isn't it?
Is it soft?
That was soft.
I did not know.
Well, anyways,
is your hardest, weirdest cheese?
Serbian donkey cheese, pula.
Oh,
also, because like
cheese.
This is, if we're talking about the very end of cheese, this is the very end of the cheese spectrum of hard and weird because that is cheese. You got a little puck of Serbian donkey cheese. Then
you know what I don't like about you?
That one camel cheese I ate that one time. That one Bedouin camel cheese.
No, you know what I don't like about you? Hold on.
Huh?
You would like to consider cream cheese to be cheese, and that pisses me off.
It's in the name. What the hell are you talking about?
It's like saying that skyr or labneh is cheese.
Great. So I'm so glad you asked. So we're going to go ahead and
I didn't skyr. Ask. I said.
We're going to put skyr over on the far end of soft and weird. Because this is, when you speak in absolutes, like all cheese tastes the same. I'm talking hyperbolically. So I need to explain what I actually mean when I mean all cheese. Because I don't mean the skyrs or the Lebnez or even, hey, over
farmer
here.
Farmer cheese?
Let's put a pun here.
Hey, what about, hey, What about farmer cheese?
Let's even put Yetost over here.
What about Brunost?
Brunost and Yetost, I think, are the same thing. Okay. Farmers, you know, any kind of thing like that. Got a paneer over here. Let's say like a pecorine. So let's say this right here, hard and weird, soft and weird. And these account for maybe 60% of the cheeses in the world. What I'm interested in is this 40% in the middle of what I'm calling chewy and normal cheeses. And all of these taste the same, roughly. We just proved that to me they do, but mostly because I don't think I'm a very good taster. Nicole, you had more success.
Hey, yeah, I had good success.
But over here, you have things like cheddar. You have Monterey Jack. You know what we didn't even get into, but I think this sort of proves the case?
What?
Is the cheese that you and I grew up on. What's the cheese that was most often in your house growing up on? You take little shreds from it.
Mexican blend.
What the hell is a Mexican blend
Kraft
cheese?
Mexican blend. You know what it is? It's three cheeses with a little bit of chili powder on top.
I don't think there's any chili
I'm
in there.
I'm almost convinced that it
I don't think. Can you the one that Logan, we, can you look up what? Oh, I think you're right. The Kraft,
the
like
one
the finely shredded one.
The one we grew up with had the you're finely. Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There was some sort of chili in it.
But now I don't think the kids do that.
Like,
anymore.
Look up what's in Tillamook's Mexican four cheese blend, because that's what I buy for Julia every week. Let's put Havarti in here. Let's put even a normal provolone.
Provolone has that, like, stank, though.
Only one that I was able to guess right was provolone.
That one had, like, an odd smoke.
Colby. Though. What do we got? Munster.
Colby Jack. Monterey Jack.
Colby Jack.
Quesadilla. Queso quesadilla.
Queso quesadilla.
Queso menonita. Mennonite
cheese. Queso menonita?
Yeah.
Are you talking?
Mennonite cheese? Do you not know what I'm talking about?
No.
Cheese made by Mennonites.
In Mexico?
Claro.
Claro, claro que sí. Me gustan los Mennonitas. So this over here is what I believe to be your sort of bell curve of cheeses and ones that all taste the same versus ones that don't. But then I'd argue that there's a little satellite out here that is your Swiss family of cheeses.
Oh,
because
Swiss.
These are nutty. These are nutty, more nutty than they are salty. And within that, I think you have Gruyere.
You have Jarlsberg.
Emmental.
No.
I'd say Jarlsberg.
Wait, no, Swiss. The reason why Swiss is because of the bacteria that's used to make those little oxygen holes.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Well, what is a Swiss cheese? Doesn't exist.
What?
Swiss cheese is like an American thing. Havarti has holes. Swiss, Gruyere, Emmental, like these are actual Swiss cheeses.
Gruyere does not have little holes in it.
But there's no such thing as Swiss cheese in Switzerland. Right?
What are you talking about?
You go to Switzerland and you say, give me some Swiss cheese. They'll say, what kind of cheese do you want? Do you want something like Emmental? Do you want something like Gruyere? Do you want something like our many small batch
Emmental,
cheese producers?
So Emmental is... No. Swiss cheese in America is derivative of Emmental cheese.
I believe so. I believe that to be the case.
Okay. These cheeses are all the way that they are with the little holes in them because of the bacteria that is introduced.
I did not know that.
Well, if you're going to say all cheese stays the same, you got to know details. Where's blue cheese in here, huh?
Blue cheese
There's
is...
so much penicillin in blue cheese. They put lactobacillus...
But I'm saying this is...
Penicillin in there or something.
Blue is under the category of soft and weird. Because those don't taste the same.
Can I look at your board now?
Yeah, go for it. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. Well, you did a lot of scribble scrabble.
I did a lot of scribble scrabble. If you want to add to the board... Because there's certainly like... When I'm talking about these chewy normal cheeses, I think all of these could be substituted in a sandwich with roughly 85 to 90% efficacy.
God, your handwriting is atrocious. It's just like
I was trying to crane. I have pretty good handwriting for a man.
I have the same handwriting as you. It's disgusting.
I think you could exchange those cheeses in the middle with 85 to 90% satisfaction rate. Somebody goes, I want a ham sandwich with cheddar. And you go, we only have Monterey Jack. I think they're going to be at least 85% happy. Unless they're expecting, like, a great cheddar. You know what I mean?
Yeah, okay.
So that's what I think here. And then here, you have those relationships with stuff like if you were to replace Lebne with Skyr, 85%.
Hmm. So
if you're
going to
replace Roquefort with Gorgonzola with Stilton,
uh-huh.
85%. You know what I mean? Okay. Swiss, Gruyere, Emmental, Jarlsberg, you have these sort of clusters of cheese.
Uh-huh.
That I think you can replace a pecorino with a parmesan with an Asiago with a cotija.
Yeah.
Hell.
Oh no, you can't do that.
Cotija, yes, you can. Cotija is just Mexican parmesan.
No, it's not. That's so disrespectful to cotija cheese to just call it Mexican parmesan.
Well, parmesan is Italian cotija.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
So you're saying you're saying everybody's living here.
But I'm saying a vast majority of cheeses, especially carried at an American grocery store.
So you're saying the average American grocery store experience is all in the middle here.
Illusion of choice.
So people are just living in the middle here is what you're trying yes. to say. So yeah, you want people to stay here or do you want people to be on the outskirts more?
I don't know what I want.
What do you want?
I feel like I'm Chet Hanks doing an impression of Heath Ledger's The Joker on Z-Way, you know? I'm like a dog chasing cars. I wouldn't know what to do if I got it.
So this is important to bring up. Of why? Why is this important?
Oh, shoot.
Why do we have to do a whole podcast about this?
I didn't really think about the why.
I'm not yucking your yum. I'm just trying to find out how that big old noggin works, mister.
Let's think about this. I started yelling. Uh-huh. I started yelling.
Yeah.
Start there.
You started yelling.
About cheese.
And did you ever stop? Have you ever just stopped?
Well, but then we put it on the internet.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what happens. We shoot an episode. Uh-huh. God knows what I say. I don't know.
I know
what
I say. That's the fun of it. It's
I like know. And then
screaming into the ether, but the ether happens to respond back in the sure. terms of views and comments and so negative.
I don't remember saying that at all. If we didn't if we didn't record a video and publish that, uh-huh. I would have completely forgotten. Not only that, if we didn't, if Matt didn't just cut it down into a YouTube short mm-hmm. and post that, I would have still forgotten what I said because mm-hmm. it's in the middle of a 40-minute episode.
Right.
But they posted a YouTube short, and then a bunch of people were saying that I was either right or wrong.
Oh.
And so I said, well, let's go test this, you know?
Well, we tested it, and we found out that my batting average of my taste buds is really high.
Yeah.
And yours are big stinky poo-poo farts.
Stinky poo-poo, stinky poo-poo. Not like stinky poo-poo like a good cheese, just
no,
bad.
No, stinky poo-poo farts because of your cigarette. Which is funny because we probably had similar... No, you probably smoked a lot more than I did in my life.
You had
issues.
Yeah.
So what I've learned today is that America lives in the middle. Whenever, yeah. But what Americans should do is venture out, eat something hard and weird. Eat something soft and weird. Eat something with holes in it. Grow up.
Get a camembert. A camembert. Camembert.
You know when the weather finally gets nice and suddenly you just want to be outside all the time? That's exactly why I lean on Instacart. It honestly gives me so much of my time back. I can put together my whole list, fresh produce, snacks, stuff for grilling, and set my preferences so the quality is exactly what I want without ever having to run to the store. I've used delivery through Instacart for everything from last-minute barbecue plans to just restocking during my busy week. The best part is how easy it is. Like, I can place an order in the morning and keep my day moving, knowing everything is handled. It makes those spontaneous summer plans way less stressful because I don't have to choose between being prepared and actually enjoying my time. It's pretty awesome. Instacart brings convenience, quality, and ease right to your door, so you can focus on what matters most. Download the Instacart app now and get groceries just how you like.
We are big, big fans of Chicken of the Sea here on the podcast and all over Mythical because their packets are, well, they're basically my little chef's secret weapon. They're portable, they're flavorful, they're super high in protein, and you can use them in so many different ways. I cannot tell you how many dinners I have made at home using Chicken of the Sea tuna. You mix tuna with any kind of leftovers you got in your fridge and you're gonna have a great time. And there are definitely a few stashed around the office, you know, for my emergency snack moments, of which there are many. And especially when I'm running between meetings or heading into a workout after work, that dill tuna salad packet is perfect for those moments. Chicken of the Sea has something for everyone, including an expansive portfolio of tuna, salmon, sardines, and more available in cans and portable packets. Whether you need an on-the-go snack or you want to add protein to a meal, their wild-caught tuna and salmon packets are convenient, flavorful, and nutrient-packed. They're easy to throw in a bag, perfect for camping or office lunches, and each has at least 11 grams of protein and 100 calories or less. Many come with omega-3s, and the flavor options are so fun. They got the dill tuna salad, the Old Bay, and now, this is my favorite, the Frank's Red Hot Light Tuna, which gives you the perfect blend of heat and flavor. To learn more about Chicken of the Sea, visit chickenofthesea.com and look out for their products sold in-store and online nationwide at major retailers. Try Chicken of the Sea's new Frank's Red Hot Tuna Packet today. Hey, before we jump back into the show, let's take a quick break. But not just any break. This is a refreshing break with Snapple.
We all know about Snapple's iconic Real Facts, so let's take a minute to go over some of my favorites. Snapple Real Fact 2033. Americans consume 150 million hot dogs on July 4th.
Snapple Real Fact 2043. On August 6, 1762, the first ever sandwich was created when someone requested a dish with meat between two pieces of bread.
Snapple Real Fact 1228. Chimps can develop their own fashion trends.
I get all my fashion trends from Jim's jokes on you. Snapple Real Fact 705. Every ton of recycled paper saves about 17 trees.
So grab a Snapple, take a second, and enjoy the moment. Because let's be honest, this might be the most refreshing part of your day. Snapple, make your break more interesting.
All right, now let's get back to the show.
All right,
Nicole. We've heard what you and I have to say.
Hey.
Now it's time to find out what other wacky ideas are going on in the universe.
Time for a segment we call Opinions Are Like Casseroles. God. Well, Nicole, it's about that time we get to hear what other people say.
Yeah.
That's it. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Hey, Josh and Nicole.
Hey, girl.
I'm calling in, coming off of your Costco versus Sam's Club episode. As a Costco employee, I thought you guys might appreciate some fun facts about the food court, specifically the pizza.
I'm ready.
So each pepperoni pizza has exactly 60 pepperonis on it.
Wow.
And when they're placed on the pizza, they're placed in 6 even triangle patterns to make sure everything is uniform.
Wow.
And the reason why the cheese pizza tastes so good is because there's a pound and a half of cheese
that's a lot.
That's why there's so much protein.
That's a lot of 24
cheese. 24 ounces
it really
measured
is.
Out. So that's why it tastes so delicious.
Oh my God.
And none of this is a secret because you can see straight into the food court where the pizzas are being made. We even have posters up showing
that's
you how to make it,
cheese.
So anybody can look at this at any time. I'm not giving away any trade secrets.
Good for you.
My opinion is that all beef hot dogs are not hot dogs. They're sausage.
False.
And I understand that categorically hot dogs are sausages,
true.
But sausages are not hot dogs.
Okay.
And let me tell you where this stems from.
Go ahead.
So something I noticed with my fiance and his best friend, my fiance has a habit of calling all sausages brats.
Mm.
It could be a hot dog, hot link, one of the Yum Evergoods pineapple sausages, but he calls
pineapple
everything
sausages.
A brat. To him, it's a brat.
I wonder if he's from Wisconsin.
And similarly, his best friend calls everything a hot dog.
A wiener.
And it's important to me to make that distinction. So,
to me,
sausages is like the umbrella term for the tubes of meat, and it can come in various forms, but under that umbrella, I feel like a hot dog should be a more distinct descriptor.
I really enjoy what they're saying. I'm really curious. Did they mention where they said it was their boyfriend and the boyfriend's best friend?
Fiance and fiance is best.
Fiance. Oh, sorry. Someone got a ring. But I am curious where they're from. Because somebody referring to it exclusively as a brat, that reads like very Midwest to me.
Okay.
I didn't realize how popular like brats were until I went to Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like everywhere has a brat and they're very proud of their brats. And I love a brat.
What defines a brat?
Well, we're
is
about
it,
to
like,
get into
cooked,
what defines it, any sausage, right?
A sausage is just meat inside of a casing.
Sure, but like
yes.
What defines individual sausages, right? So like what is the difference between a bratwurst and a knackwurst?
Well, I couldn't tell you.
I couldn't tell you off rip, but like
tell you.
I've had bratwurst, like American bratwurst, like a Johnsonville brand bratwurst.
Yeah, cooked in beer with onions.
Oh, so good.
Yum.
But like to me, a bratwurst, it's got a very specific spicing pattern. Couldn't tell you what it is. Maybe it's
white, right? Bratwurst are white?
Weisswurst is white. Bratwurst to me should be a paler
because
brown.
Because Weiss is white?
Weiss is white. But like to me, like a bratwurst, it has to do with the grind and then the spicing pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes it has to do with like what fillers are in there. Like you get like bangers that have like a majority, you know, other filler
like
in there.
Like oat or like fat.
Exactly. Something like oats binded with fat and whatever. And so to me, a brat is like a coarse ground sausage that is spiced with, I don't know, maybe the coriander, mustard seed, whatever it actually is in a bratwurst. I couldn't tell you offhand.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes it a sausage. An Italian sausage, like the link, fennel seed is the thing that we like really associate with that flavor.
Sure.
Hot dogs, I don't think it has to do with the animal that's in it.
It has to do with how smooth the paste is.
How smooth the paste is, how emulsified it is. Because to me, a bratwurst, and I don't think this holds up in the German nomenclature because I think some brats do have a finer grind.
Yes.
But like if you eat a sausage and the texture is almost kind of like ground hamburger meat inside of it, that's what we call like a coarser grind versus something like a hot dog where like when you see a brat being made, it looks like ground meat being shoved into a tube. When you see a hot dog being made, I mean that looks like it's a perfectly smooth paste. It's more like a meat smoothie.
That for gets piped me, in tubes. I think the colloquial, let's go get a blank. Like, I always say, let's go get a hot dog. Even if I'm going to go get a sausage, like, I'm just going to say, let's go get hot dogs. Like, that's just the general term for tube meat.
Wait. So you're saying...
But I never actually go out for sausages, but I do go out for hot dogs.
To me, they're so different. Like, if I say, like, oh, let's go out for sausages, I'm going to probably Verskucha.
Yeah, me too.
Which is
but
a
I'm
great
gonna,
sausage beer garden in L.A.
But I'm going to say, let's go get hot dogs.
No way. You're going to a German beer garden and saying, let's get hot dogs?
Yeah, I've also been, can I tell you something? I've also been to Oktoberfest in Munich. And I said, okay, let's go eat hot dogs, everybody. But, like, we know that means all tube-shaped sausage-like items.
Interesting.
It's just something that I was grown and I was raised with eating hot dogs more so than any other tube meat. So
sure. To me, though, like, there's a class difference. And this is painting with a broad brush, but this is what I've internalized
what
as a kid.
Are you calling
Check
me?
This out. I'm serious. Poor people eat hot dogs. Rich people eat sausages. That's what I internalized as a kid.
Is that so?
That's what I internalized as a kid. And so for me, sausages are aspirational. Sausages are white collar. This is crazy. And hot dogs are blue collar. So if I say I'm going out for hot dogs, that means I'm going to go fresh off of eating a Wiener Schnitzel chili dogs and drinking a beer outside with Patrick McDonald. Go check out the podcast.
Uh-huh.
But like to me, eating hot dogs is a street event like that. Like you get, you know, a street dog in L.A. outside of a Staples Center.
How interesting.
You go to Larry's Chili Dogs in Burbank. Great chili dogs at Larry's. You go to Cupid, something like that. But a sausage, I'm having like a cultural experience.
Wow. I guess it's because in my house we never had sausages growing up. We just had hot dogs. Why do we have hot dogs? Because Hebrew National.
So I also grew up in Hebrew National. But my grandma... which is interesting, called them sausages. And I always had to tell her, Granny, these are not sausages. These are hot dogs.
Wow, this is so interesting.
Fascinating.
Fascinating.
But as far as, like, the all beef, I would say all beef makes a hot dog more of a hot dog than any other grind of meat. Because there's very few sausages out there that are all beef. Hot links can be, like, a Texas hot link, I think,
you're right.
Typically
it is
all
very
beef.
Strange to find an all beef sausage.
But, like, an all beef hot dog, to me, that's the archetypical hot dog.
South African.
Boerewors.
Is beef, right? Isn't it? So, isn't it like 95% lean beef?
Yeah, it's got to be at least 90-10. Something crazy like that.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I think it is beef. Do they ever use... Surely they make game boerewors.
I don't.
Right?
The problem is? I don't find myself being as much of a sausage historian as I want to, and that's sad. Like, there's such a wonderful wild world of sausages that, like,
yeah.
We should research the way that we research cheeses and wines and other fine goods. Sausages deserve their, like, love.
And I agree. I consider myself an amateur sausage historian.
Really? I don't. And
I love sausages. I think it's such a fascinating...
The best place to learn is to go to that old sausage factory in Glendale.
Yeah.
And just sit there for like 10, 15 minutes and just learn about all the sausages.
Yeah.
So I think I got to do that because what a wonderful world of sausage.
I think a hot dog is defined by its smoothness of grind and its spicing pattern and the thickness. Got to be in like a natural. What casing is it?
Plastic.
Well, no, a lot of hot dogs now, if they don't have a natural casing, they are cased in some sort of like biodegradable whatever. It's like a vegetable, a glycerin, something or something.
Excuse me.
But like, because merguez sausage, right, is in a lamb casing. And that's a very thin, that's why merguez sausages tend to be thin like that.
I love merguez sausage.
You get like a beef bun casing. And those are giant.
The sausage, okay, here, I'm on Wikipedia.
Your standard brat shape is like an intestine. What is a hot dog and why is it straight?
Okay, the term hot dog can be for just, okay, the sausage used is a wiener or a frankfurter.
That just means someone from Frankfurt or someone from Vienna.
Okay, but there's Vienna sausages, not the ones that we know, not the canned stuff. And there's Frankfurters too. So I think those two. Again, I need to do my research. What, am I doing something wrong?
No, I'm saying what you're reading is BS. I'm saying what you're reading is BS. It's Wikipedia BS.
No!
A hot dog is typically, hot dogs, whether you use Frankfurter and Wiener, despite the fact that they mean people from two different cities or things from two different cities.
There's specific spicings and styles with those two sausages,
but God is dead and we have killed him.
God
because
is not
now,
dead because of your
because
hot
now
dog problem.
Because now hot dogs are being manufactured all across the globe and they
and
have
that
nothing
means
to do.
God is dead?
No, I'm saying God is the hot dog. God is the original Frankfurter or Wiener and we've killed any sort
what?
Of semblance. It's like when people say hamburgers are German. It's like, no, they are not.
They're
the
American
original
now.
Recipe for hamburger steak was a literal like bastardization in an American cookbook about a German dish. But anyway, it's like I'm saying hot dogs now have so little to do with a traditional sausage of Vienna or Frankfurt. And because they are now, I mean, you get hot dogs manufactured in South Africa, right? That are have sort of their own mild spicing patterns. You think the Bar S hot dog is going like, what is a traditional spicing pattern?
Bar S hot dog? What says that? What does that even mean?
You know Bar S?
No.
Look at the brand Bar S. This to me is, this is hot dogs that I grew up on. Bar S
hot dogs?
Bar S is the brand. They were sold at the 99 cent store. This is the hot dog that I grew up on microwaving.
Yeah, poor people hot dogs. They're such poor people hot dogs.
But like an Oscar Mayer tastes so different from a Heber Natty, you know, from
I have
Bar
A&H
S.
right now. So good.
A&H
you know who loves
is great.
H&H? Bill Oakley.
He put me on to Abelson.
He put me
Heyman?
On. I don't know, but he put me on to A&H. Next opinion.
You have sparked a good discussion, though. Thank you.
I'm going to do some research on sausages later because of you. And that's the real ticket. Oh, we didn't even talk about the Costco stuff that we learned from her.
That was interesting. Thank you. a lot of cheese, dude. That's a lot of cheese.
Okay, next.
Wow, what a intro.
Thank you
for that. What's up? I'm Javi from San Marcos, Texas.
What's up, Javi?
I usually don't call, but I have
you
it's probably
don't
honestly
call?
An abomination of a
so cute.
Of a snack choice. It's iceberg lettuce and sour cream.
Hell
it's
yeah.
Just the perfect refreshing like flavor, you know, it's like eating something meaty, like tacos
what?
Or like flautas or like, you know.
I like the way you said flautas.
Like lettuce and sour cream. So good.
Yeah.
All right. Thank y'all.
It's so funny.
I love you too.
I love you, Javi. I think what Javi's done is he's found a flavor association with an entire dish.
Yes.
Decided that he can just isolate that to sort of like Proust's Madeleines to sort of trigger that memory of eating like a flauta or something.
Proust's Madeleines. Can you please explain to the people what Proust's Madeleines is?
Proust just wrote a really beautiful essay about the way that the Madeleines of his childhood ignited a sort of taste and sense memory that was able to sort of bring him through all sorts of places. A wonderful, wonderful little read. But I think this is the sort of like the Socratic form of Bruce Madeline's.
You have found the thing that brings you joy. Congratulations. Enjoy it. I am no longer yucking people's yum.
I love that for you. Is this a new change from being a mother?
No.
Huh.
I don't think so.
Just
I think, you know, we've spent, what, 5-6 years yucking people's yums, and honestly, who?
I feel like we've never yucked people's yums that much.
Oh, honey, we have been brutal to some people.
We haven't been brutal.
Oh, honey, we have been so brutal.
I've always been the open-minded. We've, like, tried several of them.
We are both very open-minded people, and I really like that about us, but sometimes we are bitches.
Peanut butter, onion, and salami sandwiches and been like,
sometimes you're a big bitch. And you know what? But this, I understand why you're doing it, and it is a very refreshing flavor, and it is very light and crisp. And if it reminds you of eating flautas without necessarily getting flautas, I commend you.
Check this one out. Ketchup and bread hamburgers. Reminds me of hamburgers.
Dude,
when I was a kid, I was eating ketchup and bread because it reminded me of hamburgers.
Dude, I had my brother had like a cookout, and it was an impromptu cookout with like just like three, four people, and it was the greatest thing I've ever done. You spent like an hour and a half there. You cook up some burgers. The time I had.
Man.
Impromptu. Like, just like, hey, come over.
Just grilling up some burgers?
Grilling up some burgers. We also bought two ribeyes, bone-in ribeyes, literally like maybe like 3 inches.
That's fun.
Cook those up.
That's fun.
Greatest time I've ever had.
I want to get, man, I haven't had a good charcoal grilled backyard burger in a long time.
Because
every time, if
it's
I ever.
Gas now. Who uses charcoal?
I know. I want to use charcoal. I want the taste of the coal.
I know, but who does that anymore?
But I need to do that.
Do you have a grill?
No, I can't do charcoal. I have a gas grill outside, but gas grilled burgers, that's the point, you know?
Well, I had fun because I was with people I loved.
Yeah, but I don't want to have fun with people I love. I, at this point in my life, do not want to talk to anybody.
Oh, stop it.
What I do want to do.
Oh, stop it. You love talking.
What I do want to do. Mm-hmm. No, I love Jumbo's Clown Room. It's an artistic institution, Los Angeles.
Stop telling people you go there so much. People are going to associate that with you.
But I would be happy to. they're artists. But I want charcoal grilled beef.
Would that be your dancer name?
Yes.
Charcoal grill beef.
Yes, it would. We got time for one more, Logan?
One more.
Come on. It's going to be a good one. I can tell it. I can feel it.
Hi, Josh and Nicole.
Hi.
This is DJ from good old Burbank, California.
DJ!
I don't have an opinion casserole. I just wanted to call in because Josh has brought it up like three times on both the podcast and other Mythical Kitchen videos. I'm sorry that I called out your Fall River flub. I didn't mean to cause you this trauma, but clearly it's lingering with you. So I hope we can move past it.
I beefed it.
Thanks, love you.
I beefed it.
Why does everybody love you?
I love everybody. I should come on. We should honestly just use this podcast as a way for me to sort of apologize for flubbing things.
What is DJ talking about?
DJ is talking about in an episode that we did with Ben Ebrill from Sorted Food, where we do like, you know, three real regional foods and one fake one.
Uh-huh.
We had the chow mein sandwich from Fall River, Massachusetts. I said River Falls. River Falls is University of Wisconsin. River Falls is where I didn't almost go there, but the coach at University of Minnesota was trying to convince me to go there.
Aw, cute.
After 2 years and then transferred to University of Minnesota. And then I ended up at UC Santa Barbara instead.
Thank God for that.
I had Wisconsin River Falls on the brain. And then I said that instead of Fall River, Massachusetts. Also, I said, and I still don't know the difference between, because New England is all the same to me. And I apologize for that. But I said that, I believe I said that it was 50 miles north of Boston. But apparently, if you go 50 miles north of Boston, you are just no longer anywhere close to Massachusetts. Apparently, it's 50 miles south of Boston. I fudged that. I fudged that entirely. Another thing, I fudged really badly. I said Poland was a part of the Soviet Union. It was never officially a Soviet state. It fought hard to retain its independence. It was a communist republic and very culturally Soviet in a lot of ways. Some people would even go so far as to say a puppet state. But Poland did retain its independence, and I said it was part of the Soviet Union, and I apologize very deeply for that. What other things have I gotten, like, really wrong?
I think you got to do the work. I can't do it
for you. It's tough. Logan, do you have anything that I've gotten really wrong?
No. You get a lot of things right, I feel like.
I appreciate that. You know what the key is, though? No more social media on my phone at all. It's out. I've had to re-download Instagram a bunch just to talk to people because sometimes it's my only mode of communication. But stop looking at comments. No more TikTok. No more Reddit. No more nothing. And so when you're talking about, like, oh, I'm sorry you've caused this trauma in the Fall River, the good news is in the future, I'm not even going to know when I get stuff wrong. It's awesome. You know, just kind of like showing up, doing the thing that you love.
I think we all know too much about ourselves.
Could you imagine if you had like a normal desk job and you just had thousands of people commenting on your performance about it? I know so much of it is what we signed up for. And this
I definitely signed up for it.
Small, pitiable complaints.
And if I had a desk job, I would not be happy, actually.
No, nor I.
I think the job that I have is exactly what I need. And if I was when I was on maternity leave and I was telling myself, I don't want to go back to work. I'm so glad that I go to a job that I come to.
You were saying that?
Of course. What do you mean? I was like, I'm so glad that I go to a place around people that are funny and empathetic and I enjoy their presence. Because if I was at a desk job, like doing insurance stuff, I would blow my brains out.
Bro, I had a PetSmart employee the other day. She was the most, God bless her. She was the most miserable person I've ever seen at a job. Yeah. And obviously, she was like in a fight with her coworker.
Tough.
And I was literally just there waiting to buy cat food.
Yeah.
You know, and I was just, I was kind of thinking though, like this just, what do I tell it? This isn't what she even. Brick and mortar is even just like dead. This PetSmart's not doing great.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So anyways, grateful to be here.
Dealing
with the traumas of my own doing and me getting things wrong.
All
is
jobs
totally
have
fine.
Pros. All jobs have cons. If it comes down to it and we have to work in a PetSmart, we'll try our best. Hey, I'll come and work at PetSmart with you.
You know what?
Well, can I be your manager at PetSmart?
That's the thing. That's the people that people don't. Because
you're
people
my manager
understand.
Now.
You should be my manager at PetSmart. Here's the thing, though. Like, at any point, anybody can end up in any situation.
Of course,
you know what I mean?
And you know, thank God that I'm here now. But if there's ever a situation where I need to work somewhere else and do something else, you know, go back to retail or do whatever else, you have to take it head on. You can be sad about it. You can be upset about it, but it's your reality now. And don't beat yourself up about it. Having a job like working at Mythical and then having a job doing something else is very normal. And you can celebrate it after you're done crying about it.
I had an experience. I was working at the food bank this Sunday, and you know, chatting with one of the clients who was like getting food there, and you know, she was kind of like asking some questions about the back, and I was kind of curious, and then she was like, "Oh, I used to volunteer here," and I was like,
"Very
oh, that's
real.
Very cool." And I realized like one of the reasons I like volunteering is, you know, I watched, you know, my dad kind of thought he was very stable and had his life figured out.
Yep.
And then he ended up homeless.
Yes.
And we ended up, you know, really relying on food banks. There is a world, especially thinking about stuff like medical debt, man.
It's so real.
That can just hit you like a ton of bricks.
And
there's a world in which I could end up needing food banks as well. And
of course, that's very true for a lot of Americans.
How did we even get on the subject? We're cheese drunk, man. We got to go. We got to go. We got to go. On that note,
I don't know how we started talking about this, but I'm glad we did.
I did too, man. I did too. Well, I'll see y'all next time. We got new episodes every Wednesday.
Subscribe to our channel so we can keep working here.
If you don't subscribe, then we're going to work at PetSmart.
And
Nicole's
going
to be my manager.
If I
She's going to be so
PetSmart,
mean to me.
No, no, no. I'm going to be so nice.
I'm nice. I feel like I'm the nicest. I don't think I'm the best.
Dude, you should have seen me at Levi's. Chucking jeans at people. I was top seller for 3 months, and I was only there for 3 months. Did you know that?
No, that's really great. That's huge for you.
Call us at 833-DOGPOD1. Tell us about your former jobs or whatever.
I got promoted to senior guest services experience coordinator or something at the catering company really quickly.
Wow, really quickly.
What are they called? It's some sort of like
hospitality
liaisons, just like a person. You were like
just
a waiter.
Empty title.
You're like a little waiter.
Just an empty title.
Make baskets of muffins. If you have an opinion, you're like 1-833-DOGPOD1.
I already said that.
Well, now we just tell you to go spread the love. That's how we end every podcast. We say go spread the love. Spread the love like Thousand Island across the Patty Melt.
I like that.
You know? Do you put Thousand Island on a Patty Melt?
I put Thousand Island on everything.
Amen, sister. And that's really what it's about.
Why does it feel like healthy snacking always has to taste so incredibly bad? You do not compromise in any other area of your life, so you definitely shouldn't have to compromise when it comes to your food. That's why you need to try Bavarian Meats Zero Sugar Meat Sticks. Seriously, the absolute number one feature here is great taste, zero sugar.
They completely eliminate the trade-off between nutrition and indulgence. These snack sticks are macro-friendly, guilt-free, and perfectly support an active, high-performance lifestyle by delivering 9 grams of protein per serving, zero sugar, and zero carbs. Great flavor takes time, which is why Bavarian meats are slow-smoked and naturally fermented using only real ingredients.
They are the ultimate portable solution for your daily snack cravings, allowing you to hit your nutrition goals while enjoying an amazing savory treat wherever you are.
Pick up a pack today at your local grocer or stock up at BavarianMeats.com/podcast. Use code HOTDOG10 at checkout for 10% off your first order. Bavarian meat snack sticks. Great taste! Zero sugar!